Every day there's more resources to support beginners. Pairing that with conservation makes us all winners.
Thank you for tuning into Hannah and Eric Go Birding, a podcast by birders for birders.
I'm Hannah and he's Eric.
We created this podcast to share adventures, sometimes misadventures, and opinions that we have on different birding topics. We're definitely not experts, and anything that we discuss that might be controversial, I want you to remember there are opinions and they might be different from yours.
Well, we're almost to the end of 2023.
Yes, and unfortunately, we're not going to be very up-to-date on news because we are on the road right now.
Yeah, so we're recording this a little bit earlier than normal, so yeah.
Don't get on us for recording too early.
Well, anyways, it is getting to the end of the year.
Yes, it is.
And do you remember what your New Year's resolution was?
Did I make one?
I don't know. Did you?
If I did, I put it in the first episode of the year. I don't know. I think if I did make one, which I should have looked it up before we started recording, it would have been about probably spreading my focus around more on other stuff, just birds.
Being more of a naturalist.
Being more of a naturalist. Because unless that was last year's. That was either this year's or last year's. Being more of a naturalist and... especially on using iNaturalist, I post almost exclusively either bird or caterpillar photos.
No, you do a lot of spiders too, and
a lot of moths. I do a lot of spiders and moths. That's
yeah.
True.
So
I am a better naturalist now. I don't know.
That is a good point. I mean, sure, we do the podcast and it's about birds. However, we love looking at any kind of nature.
Yeah.
And Eric is constantly posting moths and spiders to eBird, to iNaturalist.
To iNaturalist, yeah.
And, you know,
some of the moths are big enough to go on eBird, I think.
Yeah. And for some reason, so the hotel that we own and operate on the Oregon coast, for some reason it attracts, like, a lot of moths.
Well, there's a couple factors that go into it. So we have their exterior hallways, but they feel interior.
Yeah.
They're protected from the elements. They're covered and everything, but they are still exterior. They're not weathered or not treated or anything like that. And the lights are on in those hallways the moment it gets dark until it gets light again. That way people don't trip and fall and all that stuff. It's to protect us from liability and everything. But because they're on all night long then, it attracts moths. And every morning there's moths all over the walls, especially on the white trim.
Not all over the walls.
Covering them.
I mean,
so there'd be like four moths or
in
five.
In a hallway.
In the whole hallway. Yeah.
Don't know, but it's like we're moth central.
It's moth central. It's crazy. It's everywhere. No, it's like four moths like a day, yeah. I would see. But it's there's always some really interesting ones. Some weird colors and weird patterns and stuff like that. I've learned a lot about recognizing, I wish I could remember right off the top of my head, one of the names of the moths. But it's like unbelievably variable that like it's just across the entire spectrum of colors and patterns. All is this one species of moth.
That's so frustrating.
It's so frustrating that it's there's probably something, if I knew more about moths, about how to tell that it's that moth.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, if I see a moth that I can't figure out exactly what it is, it's probably that moth.
Kind of like a yellow-rimmed warbler, I feel like.
Yeah.
Or an orange-crowned warbler.
Orange-crowned warbler.
It's like it doesn't have other distinguishing
features.
There's
no distinguishing features, so it's an orange-crowned. No, it's very similar with this moth. There's so many of them. But we also got some really cool spiders. And
yeah.
Occasionally, we'll get some like weevils or beetles and stuff that... we'll just be like kind of crawling on the pavement,
mm-hmm.
And I think they get attracted at night from the lights being on all night long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you've been working on being a better.
I think so. Do
inadvertently.
Inadvertently. What was your New Year's?
Well,
did you have one? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
It put you on the spot.
Yeah. Why did I start this? I don't remember if I what I said at the beginning of the year. We'll have to go back and listen to that.
Well, one more episode in this year that we can go back and discuss it in.
This is our forecast of what we said before. Anyways, I think it was to hit a certain number of birds in my life list.
Okay.
And going to Oaxaca, I hit that number.
Nice.
So that was pretty exciting for me. I hate to be such a lister, but... I like to collect them all.
Yeah. Well, you can get, it's like we discussed in this episode with Berta, you get a dopamine hit when certain things give you dopamine hits, and listing for you is one of them.
Yeah.
It works for me too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like I don't appreciate birding and birds and our backyard birds. Like this morning, our backyard was wild.
Alive.
I mean,
the ground was just crawling
with juncos.
With juncos.
It was amazing. So anyways, Yeah, New Year's resolutions. You might consider what you're going to do for 2024.
Or consider evaluating how you did in 2023.
Exactly. Actually, you know what? I think it was Jared told us that New Year's goals, not New Year's resolutions.
Yes, New Year's goals. That's, yeah. I do prefer that term.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
Because it's I'm not resolving to change massive things. It's, I have a goal. I have an objective that I can inadvertently work my way towards.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that much better, yeah.
So anyways, we do have a way to support our show if you'd like to, called Buy Me a Coffee. And the link for that is in the show notes. So mm-hmm. if you'd like to support us, we are very honored if you choose to do that. And thank you to everyone that has. And, that's all I'll say about Buy Me a Coffee.
Yeah. Okay. So our bird fact of the day. What do we got? What species do we have to talk about?
Well, so we have a bird species called a red kite, which is actually the symbol of Birda. And so it's kind mm-hmm. of appropriate for that. It's actually the national bird of Wales, and it's attracted to shiny and bright objects and often incorporates them into their nests, which I love because you don't normally think of a raptor doing that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times think of crows.
Corvids. Yeah. Yeah. Like the jays and crows and stuff love. Like, yeah. I don't think of a bird of prey as something that's going to be all about shiny stuff.
Yeah, so that's very cool. So if you check out Birda, you'll see that they've been seen recently in South England and Wales, which are strongholds for these birds, especially near Reading. And Wales has been an important place for the species as feeding stations and reintroduction programs have helped them bounce back from extinction, which, you know, that's such a... England, Europe has been, you know... human habitation for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
And so there's been so many changes with different bird populations because of how humans have worked the world there.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times raptors were unfortunately in decline because, you know, they were seen as predators and threats and all that. So fortunately, they are becoming more and more common in the UK. Which is great because they're a very fun bird to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And my, whenever I hear red kite, I always think of like when we're over in Bird Fair, there's a red ale that, the brewery nearby.
That it's they at make, a train station. I can't remember the name of it.
What is the name of the brewery? Man, maybe it'll be in the show notes. Who knows? Maybe it'll show up in the show notes.
Well, we also talked about it when we talked about Global Bird Fair.
That's true. We did talk about it back then. But they have a red kite red ale. So I always think, anytime I think of red kite, I always think of that red ale, which was one, there was the Osprey, which mm-hmm. was a blonde, I believe, or maybe it was a pale. I can't, now I'm getting my facts all wrong about which beers it was, but the red kite red ale was really good.
Yeah.
All right. So Hannah, you've got two other podcasts. You've got Women Birders Happy Hour and Bird Nerd Book Club. Bird Nerd Book Club just came out mm-hmm. last week.
Yeah.
Who'd you have on it?
So you helped me with this
one. Oh, I was on that one. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But it wasn't a book that you've written because...
I did not write a book. You didn't interview me about a book.
No, I didn't. But you helped me interview Cameron Cox,
yes.
one of our great friends, who just recently put out a book called Terns of North America, a photographic guide. That book came out in October, and that episode featuring Cameron came out on December 7th.
And next week you've got Women Birders Happy Hour.
Yes, and I featured Sarah Cunningham on that episode, who also works for Birda. So this is kind of a Birda month, I guess.
The month of Birda.
Yeah, but it was fun talking to Sarah about all the experiences that she's had in birding. And, mm-hmm. you know, I love that in the UK that there's just such a, like, huge amount of naturalists mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of people growing up doing, going out in the woods with family members and everything. So it was fun to talk to her about that. And her drink is a shag. So find out more about that.
Yeah. Find out more about that one. Okay. So we're currently in, Gambia and or Senegal right now.
Yeah. Western Africa.
Depending on when you're listening to it. Western Africa. So that's what we're doing right now. We will, be talking about that in a couple of episodes, mm-hmm. All about our experiences down here. But upcoming, in February, we're going to be going to the San Diego Bird Festival.
Yes, one of our very favorite events to go to every year.
Yes, and then Spring Chirp, another one of our very favorite.
I'm so glad to be going back to that. Yes. We missed it last year, but I'm excited to be back.
End of April, very, very excited to be back to that boutique festival. I believe there's still spots left to sign up. It's fairly limited on participation, so if you really want to go, make sure you get signed up before everything gets all filled in. And then Hannah's going to be doing a really cool adventure in Brazil in September, the Amazon Birding Expedition Brazil for Women.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to join me on that, there are still a couple spots left.
Yeah, maybe I'll go to Brazil then too. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. Maybe I'll go to Peru.
Do it.
Yeah.
I dare you.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, go without me. So that brings us to our December Bird Nerd giveaway. And for this giveaway, what do we have, Eric?
So we have a prize pack of bird books. So we received this collection of field guides, courtesy of Koloff and Stensas Publishing. It includes books on owls, woodpeckers, finches, and other books that are super cool, super interesting. They're not really field guides. They're more of educational field guides that you'd sit at home and look. Lots of pictures, really great books. And in order to win these, what do we have to do, Hannah?
So by December 25th, what mm-hmm. we want you to do is send us an email. You can Facebook us, whatever. Just get a hold of us by then and tell us what an interesting bird cold weather adaptation is. And we also want to make a note that just because somebody might post it on Facebook in the response doesn't mean that you can't have the same response as well. So we randomly draw someone out of all the responses that we received, and a lot of them may be duplicates. Yeah. And that's just fine.
That's just fine. If every single person says the rough-legged hawks having feathers all the way down to their toes is what is the coolest adaptation for cold weather, sure, great. I don't care.
Honestly,
it's a cool adaptation.
Yeah, but it's also kind of selfish that I want you guys to learn more about birds. So you could check out different...
And teach us about birds. I feel like I'm lacking cold bird weather information.
That's because I tend to avoid cold birds.
I know. We always go to warm places, like warm adaptations.
Warm, like Columbia, the Paramo. It was not warm.
Yeah, like Oregon, and when we went to Minnesota in February. Oh my gosh. Like all the warm places of the world.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyways, like I said, by December 25th, just tell us a cold weather adaptation that birds have. So we kind of mentioned it a little bit, but today we'll be talking to you about Birda with some of the folks who make Birda happen. And I just want to mention, because we did talk about, you know, using iNaturalist mm-hmm. and using different apps and things, like Eric and I are millennials and we use our phone a lot for everything. And I mean, a lot of times that's to our detriment because I'm constantly yelling at him to get off TikTok.
Yeah, I don't make TikToks. I just get stuck in the doom scrolling. And then 4 hours later, I'm wondering why my neck is sore.
And why you haven't accomplished anything.
Well, I haven't got anything done today. Why my neck is sore. And like my pointer finger, why it's all raw from sliding on my screen. Wow. I don't know.
Anyways, so birding is, you know, something that you can do to get away from your phone mm-hmm. so you can leave it at home and go out and enjoy nature and enjoy being, you know, one with the environment rather than like having that separation with your phone. Mm-hmm. However, your phone can also be an incredible tool. And I'm sure we've talked about this before, but it can be an incredible tool to engage with nature too.
Yeah, and we've given presentations about this, that you can use technology to help assist you in birding, help enhance your birding experience while you're out there in the field, or finding your way to the field, or getting on your way back from the field. Whatever it is, you can use technology to help you, and it doesn't have to be those darn millennials on their phones all the time. Those darn Gen Zers, they're always on their, none of that. It's you can be on your phone, and you can also get the full experience of being outside and use technology to your advantage.
But that's not to say one way is better than the other. Leave your phone at home. That's great. Take your phone out in the field and use it. You know, that's great too.
Oh, absolutely. So Birda is a relatively brand new bird tracking app that kind of combines a social media aspect with listing mm-hmm. to try to put these two things together and draw in more people into the birding community, which is a huge, huge bonus, yeah. Drawing people in. So we sat down with the founder, one of the founders, Natalie, and their head of marketing, Francisco, to talk all about Birda, where it's going, where it came from, and a little bit of the history of how it kind of got established.
So join us in learning more about Birda. Okay, well, it is pretty early where we're at, but it's a very normal time where Natalie and Francisco are in the afternoon. So we're so excited to talk with Natalie and Francisco from Birda, which is a very fun app that we learned about a couple years ago at Global Bird Fair.
Yeah, just recently released in the U.S.
Yes, yeah, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But Natalie, Francisco, would you please tell us about yourselves first?
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Eric. Thanks very much for having us on to chat. I'm Natalie. I'm one of the co-founders of Birda, which, yeah, like you guys have mentioned, is, well, it's now a global birdwatching app. It's kind of, it's a bit like, if you know Strava, it's kind of like the Strava of birdwatching. So it basically takes the concept of connecting with nature and going outside and having a great time and logging what birds you see along the way. And then there's a whole load of like fun elements that are part of that, including like badges and challenges and that kind of stuff.
Hi guys, I'm Francisco. I'm the senior marketing manager at Birda. And like Natalie was saying, the whole goal of Birda is to have more fun. And so I actually didn't know anything. I still know very little about birding until I started with Birda. So I was completely introduced to a world that was full of like marvels and things that I didn't expect. And yeah, we can get into that later, but yeah, it's been a great journey. So I started a year ago and Birda had just started in the UK a few months before. And so we're very young, but growing quickly.
Awesome. Well, I guess the first question about how did Birda get originated is probably for Natalie then. Natalie, how did Birda get started? What was the inception of the idea of getting this sort of app and this usability off the ground?
So weirdly, it actually didn't start with a bird at all. It started with a leopard in South Africa. So my co-founder and I, who's also my husband, were on safari in South Africa. We were with family and we had this amazing leopard sighting, watched a leopard walking along a riverbank, which I'm sure many of you will appreciate is a pretty amazing thing to see. It's not often you get to see such an elusive creature in the wild, in their natural habitat. And our kind of first instinct was that we wanted to be able to like share this experience with our friends and family who were kind of on the reserve, but not with us. And it sort of got us to thinking about how we could create these kind of connections between, you know, people and sharing experiences. And that was kind of more than 10 years ago. So fast forward to today, and we took that idea, started a generalist kind of wildlife app based in Southern Africa, and then pivoted that into what Birda is today, which is basically just focused on bird watching.
So were you all app developers prior to this?
Nope. So John has always had a real keen interest in wildlife. I mean, he's born in South Africa, has pretty much been raised in the bush, as they call it over there. So he's always loved nature, wildlife, birds, being outside. I grew up here in the UK, again, spent a lot of time outside and have kind of understood over the years how important nature is, particularly from like a mental health perspective, in terms of like getting out there and really just connecting with the natural world. And so we sort of took the idea and we worked with a company overseas to kind of bring the whole thing to life. And then once we got our investment, we kind of picked up our life in South Africa, moved to the UK, and have now employed a whole team of amazing people, including Francisco. So we now have a team of engineers who have basically built Birda from the ground up. And that's, yeah, the app that you see today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as a user myself, I feel like you probably don't even really realize how much work goes into it and all the engineers that go behind it. I mean, I am constantly just impressed at all of the amazing graphics that you all have. And that's like one of my key drivers with it is like, I want to get that new badge, you know, but I don't even, I'm sure I don't even appreciate all the technical stuff that goes into it that you guys are doing in the background.
Yeah, and we have a lot of fun with it. So, I mean, you know, the badges are one side of it. I mean, Kate, who does all of our illustrations, you know, we'll give her these briefs and she always says, she's like, always blown away by like what she's going to open her email and see, like, what crazy request do we, you know, do we have for her this time? But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And that's kind of a lot of what we're trying to do with Birdo, is like, is inject fun into the hobby. You know, it's like, let's not take it too seriously. You know, there can be a very serious side to bird watching, but I think part of it is based around, you know, the fun aspect and the enjoyment and the learning and kind of connecting with people on that side of it.
Yeah, so Natalie, you mentioned the fun and everything. So this maybe more directed at Francisco, but how do users use this in a more fun way as opposed to a more competitive and hardcore birding aspect, I guess, if you can call it that?
So there's two aspects to it. One aspect is, although it's a challenge, and so we have fun challenges that can be either species based or spending time outside, and although it's a challenge, you only compete against yourself. So as a beginner, what I enjoy about challenges is that I know that a lot of other people are trying to achieve the same goal that I am. So see 5 species during that month, or see a specific species, or spend X amount of time outside. So I think the competitiveness kind of lies in each person. And for example, one of the things that you can do on the app is set your own birding goals. So one of the main propulsion things that we wanted to do with the app is to get people to help themselves go outside. So you take the same phone that's trying to keep you on the sofa, and suddenly that phone is trying to push you out the door. And so that's one of the main things that we want to do. And so you have several mechanisms for that. One is challenges. The other one is badges. Like Hannah mentioned, I love just getting a new badge unexpectedly because I've seen 100 species, or because I've done a certain thing that, for example, every month we have like a different specific badge for that month. Normally it's something fun, or especially if there's like St. Paddy's Day or something's happening, the 4th of May, wasn't it, for the Star Wars one. So yeah, anything that keeps people going outside.
I really like that, the concept of the challenge is competition with yourself, because that's something I always think of in birding in general, is I'm not competitive against anybody else, because somebody has more money than me or less money than me or more time than me or less time than me, and none of that really matters. Like, I'm just competing with myself in general, like in my entire birding life, is just kind of like, I love getting new things and seeing new stuff, but it's always kind of like, well, how does this compare to my previous month or my previous year, but only to myself. So I like that you think of the focus in Birda as a challenge with yourself, as opposed to a challenge against other people in the world.
Well, and I love how rewarding it is too. I mean, I'll submit a list and then I'll, you know, like post it and everything, and then it'll be like, you got a new badge of like, you know, you've seen 5 ducks now on the the system, which I think is just so cool, because it's something that, like, well, I'm not cognizant of, like, oh, you know, that was a new bird for me to log with Birda, but it, you know, rewards me for engaging with it, which is, you know, keeps me coming back for it.
A lot of what we're trying to do is get new people into bird watching. You know, bird watching is very much a journey. Everyone's got their own kind of beginning point, right? Like, you may come into it and you know a few garden birds, or you may literally know nothing at all, or you may know quite a bit. But the idea is that with Birdie, you can kind of progress along your own journey. And then the community is there to help you and support you and, you know, improve your learnings. You know, one of my favorite species is the community suggestions feature, that you can post something that you don't know what it is, you post a picture, and then the community will get on board to help you. You know, it's our version of AI, which we call actual intelligence rather than artificial intelligence. And it's great. And it's been such a well-received kind of feature of the app. So we love that.
If I can just pick up on what Natalie's saying, we use the mechanisms that all social media platforms do. Like Hannah, you were saying, you get a really nice feeling of reward. But while other social media platforms kind of do that to keep you scrolling and you keep you on there. We use it to get you more into birding. So for example, like Natalie was saying, if I don't know something, a species, I'll take a picture, I'll post it on the app, and then someone will tell me why it's that species. So especially if you compare it to AI, AI will tell you what species it is if it does get it right, but it'll never tell you why it is. And so a human will tell you why it is. And then that person gets a little hit of dopamine. I get a hit of dopamine because someone's helped me. And you play on good chemicals that we have in ourselves to create a bigger sense of community and to get people going outside. Because like you said, it's like you're chasing a good high. And so that's what we do. In terms of other social media platforms have all of these experts spending billions of dollars to keep you attached to the phone. And that's not what we're trying to do.
So there is a lot of functionality with the app. You know, you can look at where people have seen sightings. You can post your own sightings and, you know, all that we've mentioned. But at the very basic, someone who's just getting, you know, who just downloaded Birda, how do you suggest they use it?
I think birding is quite often linked to, I guess, like keeping lists, essentially, you know, and like you mentioned, Eric, it's like, how am I improving? How am I growing as a birder, you know? And the great thing is that the first time you post something, so the minute that you jump on the app and you post the first thing you see, and that could be, you know, the robin that you see when you look out of your kitchen window, and then you post that, and then you're up and running. Basically, that's the beginning of your life list, you know. That is the first thing that you've seen, and we then do a whole load of work to kind of automate that process for you. So there's lists that are then created for you. So if you've put in your home location, for example, as part of the onboarding process, then that robin will form the first part of your kind of backyard list. So you get a home list, you get a patch list, you get your kind of all-time life list. So you can break all of that stuff down. And then as you go on your journey, every time you go out, you can record a session, or you can just post one-off sightings. And then you get that, you kind of on the pathway, then you start winning your badges, then you kind of join a challenge, you can set a goal, and, you know, before you know where you are, you're kind of, you know, you're on this journey to kind of improving your own bird watching sort of knowledge, and also collecting your birds, if you like, you know. It's a bit like the Pokemon Go thing, but it's just, you know, it's real birds.
Yeah, you got to catch them
you
all.
You do.
You got to try.
So, so you guys, you recently launched this in the U.S. market, like about a year ago,
about a year ago.
What's been the reception here in the U.S.? Has there been a difference in the receptiveness to U.S. birders versus the U.K. birders or the South African birders or anything?
Well, I think the first thing to notice is obviously it's just much bigger there, right? Like, I mean, you guys are, you know, there's a heck of a lot more than of the birders over there than there are kind of over here. But I mean, so far we've found the reception to have been great. I think, you know, you also have you know, the great position of having a great choice of apps already. I think that's been the interesting thing with the States. You know, you have eBird, which we know, and we're kind of fans of eBird too. And what we've tried to do with Birda is create a space where everybody is welcome. So you can still use Birda over here in the UK. We have something called BirdTrack. You can still use BirdTrack. You can still use BirdLesser in South Africa, and you can kind of keep using the apps that you enjoy, particularly as like recording tools, and then you can import your sightings to Birda, which, you know, I believe you guys have done the same thing. You know, it's like you can record lists in multiple places, and then you can bring those all together in Birda, and you can come for the community and the fun and the badges and the challenges and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I really like, you know, is that you can use those cooperatively, Birda and, you know, an app like eBird or something like that. And, you know, the cool thing about Birda is that there's all this information in there about birds in addition. So you see a bird and then you can click on it and it gives you all that information. So it's all, you know, combined the listing, the information in the same app. So you don't have to go out and go to different apps, which has been a lot of fun to play with. So one thing you mention on the website and, you know, in the app itself is conservation. And I'm curious how the information that, you know, we submit to BIRDA, the sightings and all that, how those enable conservation.
So sightings that are submitted. So once you onboard, you're asked a question if you'd like to submit your sightings to the GBIF. And so the GBIF are the same. If you think of it as a reservoir of information about birds, so they're the same. It's the same place that, for example, eBirds submit their data to. And then scientists can actually dip into that reservoir of data and pull out data to do any sort of experiments related to conservation or to do any sort of papers. And so our whole idea is to take having fun and helping conservation and get them to happen at the same time. Because sometimes people think to help the planet, it has to be something painful. You have to walk in the really negative, especially here in England, negative temperatures on the beach to do a beach cleanup and to do all this stuff. And it has to be difficult. And actually what we wanted to do is turn that on its head. So you could actually be just having fun, going without even realizing you're helping conservation. And so I think just recently we had, I think one or two papers written up with information from BIRDA. And I think it's over a million sightings in that, Natalie, something
like that. Yeah, I think we're at like well over 1.5 million sightings now that have been generated for conservation since we've been going. So, you know, it's in essence like a massive citizen science project. Which is really cool because I think, you know, at the end of the day, every little helps. And like Francisco says, this is not a hard thing to do, and you almost do it subconsciously, which is great. And all of that information is just super valuable for conservation researchers.
Yeah, I really love that you're able to bring that conservation over to as opposed to something like iNaturalist and eBird and I don't remember, BirdList, is that what
BirdTrack,
you said?
BirdTrack.
Used in BirdTrack in the UK. All three of those and many more that are around the world are really, really focused on the listing aspect of it, and all of that goes into conservation. But this is kind of like mixing social media into conservation, kind of combining those two, which I really think is a great way to get people that are new to birding that are kind of like on that cusp of whether or not they're going to actually dip their toe into listing, pull them over to the dark side, so to say, of listing with that dopamine hit of the social media and liking posts and stuff like that.
But that's exactly right. So that's me. So when I started with BIRDA, that's definitely me. I fit into those shoes. I was always into nature. I spend a lot of time in the ocean surfing and doing a bunch of other things. And obviously I'd noticed that birds were around. And I know, for example, that Natalie and John's stories start with seeing a leopard. And I think there's kind of an eureka moment where they, like, you know, that there are not that many leopards in the middle of New York, like Central Park. But that wild birds, you have wild birds everywhere. And sometimes we forget that they're actually wild. And we people that aren't birders. And then suddenly I started to look up and see the different things. So actually look, and once you also know names, so once you start to like, it's like knowing someone, once you know their name, you can quickly create a connection. And that's kind of what we wanted to do, is to get not only the expert birders, and John, the Natalie's co-founder, he's a very, very good birder. So BIRDA has all of the technical features, all the lists, you can divide your lists and pretty much however you'd like to divide them in. And you have a bunch of data that experts love, but we're also very focused on just providing that normal experience of just the happiness. And Hannah, if I see a really nice photo that you took yesterday of a bird somewhere out in your trips across the world, that just brings happiness to me. And so a one place where I can go as a beginner, ask people questions, have them comment on my species, interact, play around. It's like a place to have fun. And I think sometimes people forget that adults need to have fun.
Yeah, and I really, you know, love that social component of it as well. Where we live on the Oregon coast, we don't have a whole lot of birders that we see on a regular basis. And so, like, you know, I see friends through Facebook and see what they're posting, but it's really cool to pull up the app, see what's nearby, and see, like, oh, there are other birders near me who are seeing these things. And, you know, I might not see them, but it's nice to know that there's other folks out birding in my local area, other than just me.
Well, it's a social media without the negative of every other social media in the world that exists.
So, Eric, just touching on that. So as a beginner, when I started and I started working at Birda, I was suddenly told, oh, that there's these groups on sometimes on Facebook and people aren't very nice. And I couldn't believe it. I always thought the Birders were really nice, amicable people that would just talk to you and would just help you if they could. And then I was kind of faced with a completely different reality where people were really negative to each other. If you were a beginner, they would almost make fun of you for not knowing that bird or for getting the species wrong. And I know that John and Natalie created the app. And if you notice, all of the prompts on the app are all really positive. So it'll say something like, Natalie has something nice to say about your post. And you're kind of always prompting people to be positive. And that was the whole thing we wanted to create. So there's two things. We wanted it to be three things, actually. Fun, friendly, and we wanted it to be for everyone. Because I think the stereotype of the very affluent white male bird watching, especially the English gentleman, we wanted to do away with that and get as many types, all shapes and sizes and colors of people enjoying the outdoors.
Well, I'm curious what the future is for Birda. What are you all working on?
Well, we're always working on exciting things. Our roadmap, I think, is very long. We've probably only built like a fraction of the things that we want to. We've certainly got some very exciting new features coming up next year. I think a lot of that will be to do with kind of building on some of the stuff that we already have. So just, you know, spending time and effort to make things that we already have there better. So we're doing a lot more work around our challenges. There's going to be a whole load of new badges coming next year. More work is being done on goals. We've got, we're looking into features like groups and how we can create those. We've also, beginning of next year, hoping to launch like the premium version of Birda. So it'll be Birda Plus. And that will also have a whole load of exciting features in it as well, to be confirmed. So yeah, watch the space.
Well, that's super cool. And I just noticed the other day I was scrolling through and I saw that there's a shop for hats and mugs and t-shirts and stuff that's branded material that has some of the things like the Darth Vader badge on a shirt. So is that, did I just overlook that or have you guys had that for a while?
Well, it's funny actually, we've had it for a little while, ever since Bird Fair really, because Bird Fair I think was probably our first sort of launch into the kind of merchandise side of things. And I think because people kept saying to us, oh, all these cool designs you guys have, like these great badges and stuff, you know, I would love that on a t-shirt, oh, I'd love it on a hat or a sticker or whatever. So yeah, so it seemed like a kind of a bit of a no-brainer really to start doing that. So yes, there is a Birda shop, and you can go on there and there's a selection of, you know, some of our kind of popular badge designs you can now get as t-shirts, or, you know, the Bird Nerd hat, which actually was recently featured as a top gift in The Guardian. So yep, I think a few people might be getting a Bird Nerd cap for Christmas, I suspect. But yeah, that's really cool. It's really nice to see our stuff out there. And, you know, you walk into a nature reserve and somebody's got a Birda cap on their head, and, you know, that's really cool.
Yeah, and John, I think, gave Eric one of the Bird Nerd shirts, like, the first time we met you all.
Yeah, two years ago at Bird Fair.
Yeah, I think. And I have to tell you, I mean, Eric exclusively wears bird gear that we get from festivals and, you know, like competitions and stuff.
I'm currently wearing a birding shirt right now.
Nice. Yeah, it's a Gru Gildani. But his Birdner shirt gets the most comments
of every shirt of that I
every
have.
Shirt. Like anytime he wears that shirt, like all day long, people are talking to him.
They're like, oh, bird nerd.
There's the bird nerd. That is like the best piece of advertising, not only for you all, but also for
us. A conversation starter.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I might have to go in and buy you a couple more just in case.
Yeah, I mean, this year at Bird Fair, we had a special edition Darth Vader t-shirt. And yeah, I think we massively underestimated how popular that was going to be. So I think by the Saturday already, we hardly had any left.
So if you're going to Global Bird Fair this year, make sure to get to the Birda booth very first so you can get your pick of what you want. Yeah. Because it doesn't last long. Yeah, I think this year the only thing that y'all kind of had left was a really cool bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Or it was a magnet.
It's a magnet, yeah.
I can't remember what it says, but it has a heron on it.
Oh, yes.
Sitting on our fridge. Yeah. I love it.
It's the one about driving, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Flock off, I'm birding, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Flock off, I'm birding, yeah.
I know, I'm afraid to put it on my car. I don't want somebody to take it from me.
it's on the refrigerator, big and bold, but it's like, I don't... It might disappear if we park somewhere and leave it out there. It's too cool.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us and telling us more about Birda. Is there any last things that you'd like to mention?
Well, I think just if you've not started birding, then Bird is a great place to start. So yeah, just go to the App Store, download it. It's a free app, and yeah, and sort of jump on board and go out there and log your first sighting.
I would just add to that if you're already on the app, which I know a lot of you are, and Anne and Eric, the more people we have on there, the better. The more fun it is. It is literally a thing. The resources aren't limited. So the more people, the more fun. So if you can get a friend like you, then let's do it. Because more people on a challenge, the more competitive in a good-natured way, the more bird sightings we'll get for conservation. So yeah, only positives.
Well, thank you for your time. It was fun chatting with you all.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
So we first met Natalie and John and the Birda crew at Global Bird Fair when we went for the first time in 2022.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting to see, you know, the amount of change that they've had in the 2 years that we've met them.
Yeah. When we first met, it was only in the UK. You couldn't.
Well, and South Africa.
And South Africa. It was UK and South Africa because Natalie and her husband are from... Or her husband is from South Africa, yeah. And they were living down there when they came up with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
But those two locations, and that was it. You couldn't get it on in the app stores anywhere else. I think they provided us a link for a beta test.
Yeah,
download.
I was doing beta.
Yeah, we're beta test download for that. But it wasn't available in the US. Mm-hmm. It wasn't available outside of the UK or outside of South Africa. But it was kind of really interesting. Like, well, let's see how this plays out, because it's kind of mixing these two things, mixing social media with bird listing and trying to get people to engage with each other, not just with their own bird list.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, just looking at the app itself, it's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a program that's called Seek, which is from iNaturalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed using that program because you get the badges, and like, I never did Girl Scouts or anything that. Yeah. And so I love getting badges because like we were talking about, you know, it's that dopamine, like, hey, I accomplished something.
Yeah.
And Birda does that for birding. Mm-hmm. And so I mentioned it in the interview, but that's something that I really love about it. All of the graphics they have are just so attractive and draw me in and keep me there. And, you know, I really enjoy using it. I enjoy seeing what other people are seeing on the app. I get likes on my bird list, which is really cool. Like, you know, on Facebook.
There's the dopamine.
Yeah, exactly. They're just using me. Anyways, It's a fun app. I encourage folks to check it out if they are interested in learning more about it. Eric wanted us to mention about how overwhelmingly positive.
We were very positive during the interview. We're also being very positive right now, and for good reason. So our podcast, what we have strived to do through all the years that we've been doing, is to make birding more accessible and make birding
more fun,
make it more inclusive, and get more people involved and make more people feel comfortable being involved in the birding community. And this is an app that's just another tool in that toolbox to do it. eBird fits for some people. Some people don't like it. Some people have problems with it. For whatever reason, they have problems with it. iNaturalist the same way. Bird Tracker in the UK, same. It's every single app, there's people that love it and people that are either lackluster or just hate it. And this is just another tool for that toolbox to bring more people into the birding community, which, and there's no wrong way to be enjoying birds like this. So if you love the social media aspect and you want to do that, Birda is your route to go. If you literally just want a list and that's all you want to do, you could do that on Birda too. You could do that on eBird. You could do that on iNaturalist. Like, mm-hmm. there's different options and different ways that these apps are put together. And so I felt like we were very positive because this fits into a core value of ours of making sure that birding is inclusive and birding lets everyone, as many people as possible, enjoy this hobby that we love so much.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I totally agree.
There we go. That was my disclaimer I wanted to give about the interview.
Anyways, like we said, you know, check it out on the App Store. It's free. Mm-hmm. And there's, yeah, a great community of folks on there. And we look forward to seeing how it grows and, you know, your opinions about it too.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys all for listening to our podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and or learned something new. We hope you enjoyed it and or learned something new.
Not just you.
Not just me. Please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Music, anywhere else you listen to us. If you'd like to connect with us on the socials, please follow us at Hannah Goes Birding and Eric Goes Birding on Instagram. You can follow our Facebook page at Hannah and Eric Go Birding, our TikTok at Hannah and Eric Go Birding, our Twitter at We Go Birding, Hannah and Eric Go Birding at gmail.com is our email, and you can also check out our website, www.gobirdingpodcast.com. Tell us what you like, tell us what you hated, and share us with your friends.